And happy 4th of July weekend. I hope everybody is excited as I am. How many of you are excited about putting something on the grill? Because I know I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm a foodie. And so when it comes time to eat, I don't know, what, ribs, chicken, hamburgers, you name it, hot dogs. But I do get excited about food. For you guys that are joining us this morning, we're going to continue in our sermon series in Nehemiah, and it's titled Make a Difference in 52 Days. And so just a quick flyover, the first four chapters, Pastor Adam preached. Nehemiah had this burden to bring his people back together. The children of Israel were scattered. They were all over the place, and that wasn't their destiny. How many know that our destiny is not to be scattered? Our destiny is to be with God. And these people were kind of all over the place. And he knew something wasn't right. So the first thing that we learned about Nehemiah in the opening was that he was a man of prayer. And so he prayed and fasted, got a burden. The second thing we learned about Nehemiah was that he was a man of action, that he didn't just pray, but because of his position of influence, being the cupbearer, which would be our version of the Secret Service today, to the king, he took that burden and he went before King Xerxes and said, you know what, something's not right. My nation, my area is in ruins, and I'd like to be able to go back and be used to rebuild something. And so we learned that just because God puts you in a position of power or a position of favor, that it's not just about you, but it's for others. We also learned that God is methodical in building, that he doesn't want you to build alone. So many times as people, we find ourselves out there trying to do things by ourselves. But as Pastor Adam preached, he said that God called people to build together, alongside of one another. It didn't matter if they were the perfume maker or the person that built with his hands, a crafty man, a handman, or whatever. But we're all called to build together. But as we went a little bit further, one thing that we forgot to understand is that anytime God calls you or I to do something great, there's going to be opposition. Anytime God is calling you into your destiny, maybe just a little bit further, there's going to be opposition. This time of the year is very sentimental for me because I faced a great opposition to get here to this church, to be a part of this family. So 2 years ago, this time of around July the 4th weekend, God called me to move from a place that I called home for 16 years, Nashville, Tennessee. And I remember when this team of Pastor Adam, Pastor Ron, Dottie, the rest of the pastors said, man, we want you to come here, because I was facing a difficult situation. And he said, we just come here and be a part of us, and we're going to take you in. And we want you to come build with us here in New Jersey and New York. And so I said, you know what, Lord, if this is your will, then you know you're going to have to make it happen. How many know when you have an opposition that's big, we have a bigger God? And so I said, if I'm going to make it, there's some things that you're going to have to do. And right when I made the decision that this is the direction I want to go, all hell broke loose. My darkest moment that any man or any woman could face took place at that moment. As soon as I spoke it, I'm coming, Pastor Adam. I'm coming, Pastor Ron. I'm coming, Pastor Dottie. I'm going to make my decision to follow God here in this area. All hell broke loose. But God along the way began to show me that he was with me. See, in order to get here, my house had to sell. But in the midst of the selling, craziness was going all around me. But God began to show me. First thing he did was he brought a man to say, look, I'll take care of your yard. I got that. How many know your yard got to look nice before somebody want to buy it, right? You know, curb appeal. I know HGTV fans in the house. You know, you got to make sure your house looks right from the outside so when somebody drives up, they want to buy it. So once they look at it, they got to come inside, right? So I had a friend call and say, hey, man, I got to a cleaning company. And so what I'll do is me and my cleaning company, we'll come and clean the whole house from top to bottom. Clean it, spotless. Man, I'm like, wow, that's day two. Day three, my friend calls me and says, you know what, I know that your carpets have to look nice. I have a carpet cleaning company. I'm going to come and I'm going to clean your carpets for free. All this is free. I'm not asking for it. These people are just coming out of the woodworks. The next thing, I had to get a realtor. How many know you need a realtor? You need somebody to go out there and make it happen for you, right? To kind of get in the flow and get the word out. So my friend that was a pastor, his wife was a realtor. She said, Shino, let me come and let me look at your house. Let me show you how to set things up inside. And then we're going to put your house on the market. I said, okay, we'll do this. Remember, we're talking about building with people. We're talking about opposition, things that seem impossible. It was impossible. There's no way this is going to happen. My house is going to sell to get here. And all of a sudden, July the 4th. Who pushed their house on the market July the 4th? Ain't nobody around. July the 4th at 4 p.m. She takes the sign and sets it in front of my house and walks off. Do you know from July the 4th all the way to July the 5th, my phone rang all day, every day for people to come and look at my home? I'm thinking, wait, this is the holidays. People at the beach, they don't have time to be worrying about a house. Woke up the next morning, spent the whole day leaving my home because people were walking in and out trying to figure out if they wanted to purchase this home. By 5 p.m., July the 5th, my house sold. I called Pastor Adam, and you should have heard a man shout like it was like a Jericho shout. Like the walls are, brother, I said, my house sold. He's like, there's no way. I said, yes, it is. You prayed, I prayed, we prayed, and God showed up in the midst of the opposition. And I'm here today to declare and decree that no matter what you are facing, what you are up against, God is with you. He is in the middle of the situation, and he's very detailed oriented. And he wants to show you, just like he's going to show Nehemiah and us this morning, how he used this man in the midst of opposition. You can turn to your Bibles in Nehemiah 4, verses 1 through 8. And I'll read just a little bit, and I'm going to bounce around because I'm excited about what I want to communicate to you this morning. It says in verse 4, chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, what are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore the wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Another friend jumped in. Tobiah, verse 3, the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what are they building? If even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down the walls of stone. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs of Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to stir up trouble against it. Father, in the name of Jesus, in these brief moments, God, I'm asking for your help to communicate your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Sanballat and Tobiah, for the sake of time, these are two men ruling other nations that despised the Jews. They didn't want them to succeed. And so in order for them to be able to keep these men and women from fulfilling what God has called them to do, the first thing they want to do is begin to mock. And see, mockery is a scheme of the enemy to get into the psyche. See, I play professional sports, and the game can be won before the game even started if a man or a woman could get in your mind before you even played the game. And so what he was doing, he was speaking to them saying, who are these people, these feeble Jews? Why would he call them feeble? Because he knew the circumstances and the situations that they were dealing with as individuals. They were economically challenged, and they knew that the nations around them hated them. So he needed to begin to deal with their psyche. People don't like us, and we're going through economic hardship. See, you and I, as we begin to build something, as we begin to step into our destiny, or we want to go further with God, all hell will break loose, and the enemy is going to remind you and I what's going on around us. Oh, your bank account's low. Oh, you don't have this. Oh, what about your past? All these different things are going to begin to jump out from the enemy to keep you and I from building, from moving forward. Anytime we say we're getting ready to do this for God, or we're asking God to use us, opposition will come. As soon as you or I say, I want to give my life to Jesus, here come the mockers to say, oh, what, you think you're holier than thou now? Oh, you want to, you all of a sudden, you're too good to break bread with us now because you go to that Every Nation church. Soon as you say, you know what, I'm going to believe God for my coworkers or my family members or my friends, then here comes the opposition. What? Here comes the enemy to get you stirred up on the outside, to keep you from moving forward. Maybe your friend all of a sudden that you love dearly and was weeping for turns on you and does something to try to keep you or you from being able to communicate the love of Christ to them. Maybe say, you know what, I want to take my faith to another level and I'm going to begin to skip meals. I want to fast and pray. And all of a sudden, as soon as you skip that meal, it seems like everybody and their friends want to take you to dinner, don't they? I've been there. I mean, as soon as I say, you know what, I'm going to abstain from food this week. I'm going to lock in with my pastors. I'm going to believe for my breakthrough. And everybody wants to take me to lunch, take me to breakfast, take me to dinner. I can't even get away. I'm like, man, I just want to do something for God. I want to begin to build. Here comes the opposition. The second thing that he did was he made them think that the task was too big. Do they think they can build that wall in one day? See, the enemy always wants you to think that whatever you're trying to build or whatever you're trying to do is too big. But you have to be able to remind yourself that the God that you serve is much bigger. See, I have to go back and begin to understand who wrote the Bible, who's in the Bible, because when you look at what God did over and over again, that's going to give you the ability and I the ability to move forward and to continue to build regardless of the opposition. So when my bank account's low, I got to remember that he is Jehovah Jireh, my abundant provider. When things are begin to break up and around me and I find myself in a position that seems impossible with my children, I have to begin to remember that the word of God does not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. So every time I pray over my children, I got to remember I'm making a deposit in them that when they get older, no matter what, because the word will not return void, regardless of what the situation looks like, they will someday serve the Lord. The opposition may look big, but your God is bigger. And so he kept reminding, this wall, there's no way you're going to build. This is a humongous opposition for you to face. The next thing that he went after was three. He began to deal with their psyche on what business does the spiritual have to do with the secular. Why would you build a wall when you should be building the temple? What business does secular and church have in common? But I'm here to tell you today that we own the secular world. We should be the more influential people in the secular world. We should be the ones calling the shots in fashion. You should be calling the shots in music. You should be calling the shots in entertainment. You should be the man or the woman in education. We should be just as much as involved in secular things as the world is. Because God gave the people the wisdom to be able to do what they do. And so we need to be speaking into that just because it's important. So he's challenging them. Why would you even deal with this wall? You should be over there dealing with the house of God. No. We're just important opposition to keep you and I from going and being what we're called to do. Can they build the wall in a day? So now he's challenging them on their patience. See, patience is the Christian cuss word. Because we want things now. We live in a microwave generation and everything has to be now. I want my latte now. I want my hamburger now. I want my job now. Everything is now. And see, when we get impatient, we get ahead of God, we get out from under his covering, you and I can do some silly things. That's the one thing that I have to learn is be patient. Let God deal with the situation. Let God lead you, because sometimes you can get so far ahead of God, you outrun the covering. And you find yourself in a vulnerable position. And I thank God that I have pastors and leaders who can look me in the eye and say, Shino, no, that's not right. If I were you, I'd probably do this instead of that. Very important. Opposition. We want to run before we should walk. The last one is the stones. He made fun of the ability to build with these stones, because these stones supposedly had been broken and built. And he was saying, you know what, if you do build this wall, it doesn't matter. We still can come in and take you. We can take your nation. We can take your children. We can take whatever we want to take, because those walls are weak. But see, the thing is, he didn't know the whole story, because Nehemiah had already took assessment and realized that those stones are pretty sturdy, that those stones are okay. And so what we have to do, just like Nehemiah, we have to take assessment. You know what? I really believe that God is with us, and I think I can continue to move forward regardless of the situation or the opposition that I'm facing. When opposition comes before you and I, the one thing we have to remember is that whatever God starts, God's going to protect. I want you to take this home this morning. Whatever God starts, he's going to protect. So as these men and women started building the wall, and Sandoval and Tobiah became after them, the protection became to rise up on them. My first point is this, is that you have to remember. And Nehemiah had to go back and say, wait a minute, God, you told me to start this work. And the scripture verse that it says in Isaiah 54:17 is this: no weapon formed against you or I shall prosper. And that God himself will refute every tongue rising against you and I in judgment. I want to say that no weapon. So the enemy can form any type of circumstance, situation to oppose you, to keep you from moving forward as a man or a woman of God. But if you continue to realize that whatever weapon that he formed, God's going to have something greater to oppose it. The weapon of sickness is of the enemy. He doesn't want us to be sick. He wants us to be whole. So when I get sick, I got to remember, wait a minute, this is not the will of God, to keep you and I from doing what we're called to do. He doesn't want me to be financially unable. So I have to realize, man, this is not God's best for me. I have to make some adjustments to move forward. But no weapon. The accusations, the things that are flying. How many of you have ever had somebody say something about you that kind of hurt? Wow. Why did he or she say that about me? Man, I'm doing right. I'm doing my best to serve the Lord. I'm tithing. I'm going to church. I'm not as cussing as much, but, you know, I still slip up here and there. I'm doing those things, but here come the accusations, just like Sandoval and Tobiah and others were accusing them of things. You have to realize that God said, I'll refute every tongue rising against you. So as soon as that word comes out to stop you, to try to make you feel less than, God's going to turn it around for good. Amen. He's going to show people that you are not what the world is saying that you are. The other scripture verse that I have is in Isaiah 52:12. It says that God goes before you and that he's your rear guard. What is that saying? That God's got your back. I need you to understand that God has got your back. So I'm calling some of you out to step out this morning. Stop being real easy with God. No, step out. Put the promises on God. It says that he'll be your rear guard. As they began to build this wall, as you read the rest of this story, it says that the enemy started mocking them and saying that they're going to come and do battle. That we're going to come up these walls and we're going to get in there and we're going to take you out. You know what? No. God is your rear guard. There's things you don't know. There's things that you don't know that's going on that the enemy's got cooked up around the corner. But God will expose the works of the enemy over your life. I've been in situations where I felt I was supposed to do this. Do a certain thing, and all of a sudden I could feel God just kind of move me. No, you don't want to do that. That's not going to be good if you go that route. Maybe it was a relationship that you thought you were supposed to be in, and God is telling you, no, that's not me. That's not my best. She's crazy. He's crazy. Axe murderer. You might want to wait up on that. He's got your rear guard. He'll protect you when you can't protect yourself. It says in Romans 8:31, I don't have this on the scripture verse, but it says that if God be for you, who or what can be against you? God is for you. He wants you to succeed. He wants whatever he starts, he wants to protect it, and he is not against you. My second point that I want to make is that stay focused. Sometimes we get distracted. And that's all that Tobiah and Sandalbot wanted them to do. He wanted to distract them. He wanted to steal their courage. He wanted to steal their hope. He wanted to keep them from moving forward. But you know what? Thank goodness that Nehemiah was a man enough to say, you know what? No, God has called me to this task. God has given me the success to do it. God has given me the strength. So I must stay focused and not turn to the left or to the right. Like the Bible says in Proverbs 4:27, it says, do not turn to the left or to the right. Keep your foot from evil. See, his goal was to get him off the wall. If I can get them off the wall, if I can get them on the other side, we got them. That wall was their protection. If I can scatter them out, if I can move them around, then I got them. But if you don't turn to the left or to the right, and you keep your eyes on the prize, you can't but be victorious. So I'm a diehard thoroughbred racing fan. Love watching the ponies run. And see, when a horse is strong and it loves to charge and get out of that gate, and you know what? That horse can get distracted. Because the horse, all he has to do, if he keeps his eyes forward and doesn't worry what's to the left or to the right, that pony, if it's trained correctly, will win the race. And sometimes you get these horses that get caught up in what's in the stands, they get caught up what's over here, and they got to put on what they call blinkers. When they put those blinkers on, it keeps that horse eyes focused. Doesn't worry about the horse's neck to him, but it keeps them focused. You know, maybe God needs to put some blinkers on you and I to keep us focused. Keep us some stuff from the internet. Keep us some stuff that's out there to keep us from doing opposite of what God is calling us to do and be. Stay focused. The other thing that he tried to do is he tried to abort a plan. They had a plan. Sandalbot and his friend had a plan. They weren't done yet. The wall was being built. Nehemiah was focused. And they developed a plan. But the Bible says in Proverbs 19:21, it says, many are the plans of man. We can plan all day. And I'm going to encourage you, plan. Go ahead, get your little phone and get your little everything you need and just begin to write it down. And we're going to do this today, and tomorrow we're going to do this. And in 5 years, I'm going to be here. In 3 years, you can go ahead and plan everything you want. But the Bible says many are the plans of man, but the purposes of God is going to prevail. See, we can do all we want, but the purpose that God designed you and I for is going to prevail. Either you're going to do it his way or it's going to be the hard way. But his plan is going to prevail. I've been there. I'm not going, no, I'm not going. When they asked me to come, I wasn't beating down the door to come to New Jersey. You kidding me? I had other places I could have gone to. No, God's like, uh-uh. I tried to sneak into other states. I tried to sneak into other churches. No. He said, you're going to New Jersey. And you're going to stand with Pastor Adam and Ron and the rest of that. No, I'm not doing that. Those people are crazy. That's the East Coast. They're mean up there. I'm a Southern man. I love it. It's just nice. And we just kind of get along. No. Down up here, it's just conflict. And I tried to do it my way. And God knew everything was collapsing, falling apart. Pastor said, no, we don't think we can take you. I'm like, oh, man, this is crazy. But you know what God's purpose is? Prevail. And so I'm here, and I thank God that I'm here. And I'm grateful that I'm here. But you have to stay focused. You can't turn to the left or to the right. Really, more Nehemiah chapter 6, because even though these walls were being built, and they saw that they were zealous. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of it, but I'll paraphrase it. It said this, that they began to build this gate, this wall. And they got all the wall built, but they needed a couple more things left. The last thing they had to put on was these gates. And Tobiah and Sandoval and the rest of the gang, there's a difference between the dream team and the scheme team. And they were scheming. We got to get them. Now we're going to kill them. We threw sending threats. We get ready to take action. But we got to trick them. We got to get them out from that wall. So the first thing was to send this threat, this little verbal thing, to get Nehemiah thinking. Nehemiah, if you build this wall, we know what you're getting ready to do. You're trying to make yourself the king. You want to have your own little thing going on. So we're going to go ahead and try to get you out from behind this wall. So they sent a word, sent a message, sent something to try to lure him away from what God was calling him to do. And they didn't do it in a nice way. See, a lot of people, when they want to get at you, you know, when husbands and wives, when we get into it, somebody will kind of do something. They'll bring something up they shouldn't have brought up. You know what I'm talking about. Come on. All right. Why you got to bring that up? That happened like 5 years ago. You still holding on to that? They don't play fair. Maybe you got a coworker that doesn't play fair. They want to bring something up that you forgot, that you it was a mistake, and they want to bring that up. And so he's bringing some things up to try to get Nehemiah riled up, to get him to want to fight. But the Bible says this. In Proverbs 15:1, it says, a soft answer will turn away wrath. So if I come at somebody in a different way, I got to learn to do this. I got to learn to kill them with kindness. I just smile. Yeah, I'm sorry you feel that way, you know. I'm not going to engage you in a shouting match. I'm not going to get myself all riled up for something that I know that's not right already. So if I engage you, bad things can happen. Anybody say something that you realize you shouldn't have said? It's not like tweeting. You remember, you know, you tweet something, there's a possibility you can kind of untweet it, you know, pull it out, kind of take it off. And I didn't mean to say that. Let me get that off of there. But when you speak something to somebody and you, oh, gosh, why did I say that? It's already there. It's in them. It's in you. And so we have to learn to say, you know what? A soft answer turns away wrath. He just said, you know what, guys? Hey, you, that's not true. All these things that you're saying is not right. Leave me alone. I want to stay focused. I realize that God started this work, and he's going to protect it. So now, they're hot. You ain't ever seen somebody get so mad at you that they willing to do whatever they got to do to get to you? See, that's how the enemy is. When he sees that you and I are so committed that we're going to serve God no matter what, he ratchets it up. He says, man, I gotta go ahead and do that. I got to get after that thing that I know that if I hit them with this, they're not going to serve God no more. If I do this, they're going to shut it down. They're going to go home. They're going to quit. They're going to throw their hands up and say, I'm never serving God again. God, blah, 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 blah. You know how we get. This one thing. So this is what he did. He said this. He said, how about you and I go to the temple? This priest called Nehemiah said, let's just go to the temple and let's just talk about this thing. Let me get you into the house of God. Now he's playing on his spirituality. See, the enemy knows the word. The enemy can lure us just like he did Satan in the wilderness. He knows the Bible. But if we don't know the word, we're going to find ourselves in some bad situations. We're going to find ourselves doing some things that are kind of off, that are kind of strange. And Nehemiah, see, Nehemiah was a man of prayer. Nehemiah was a man of the law. That means he's a man of the word. And he said, wait a minute. I see what you're trying to do, because I know that if I go inside that temple, I'm going to be discredited, because no man is allowed to go inside that temple except a priest. And I know if I go in that temple, that's breaking the law. And if I break the law, I'm going to lose credibility of those following me. See, what a leader does in moderation, those that follow will do in excess. So you have to be careful wearing the yoke of leadership and saying, oh, I can just play around with this, because you have many people following you that may say, well, if he's doing it, she's doing it, they're going to ratchet it up a little bit more, and it's going to cost everybody something. If he goes into that temple, not only is he going to be killed, possibly, if he makes it out, he's discredited. You're not the man of God that you're supposed to be. You know the priest is the only one in the house that's supposed to be in there. It got so bad that they sent false prophets in there. Prophet lying, not sighing, prophet lying, just trying to get this thing so spiritually crazy. But you know what? Nehemiah didn't fall for it. This is what I'm going to do. See, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, bring that scripture verse up. We have to be stewards. We got to know the word. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly, say correctly, correct, handles the word of truth. You have to know the word inside and out. You have to meditate on this Bible. You got to learn it. Just like you study whatever it is you study to get that job you want to get, you have to be able to learn this, because I'm going to tell you, when opposition is out there, when the enemy does not want you to do the things of God, all hell's coming at you. He's going to do everything to shake you. He's going to do everything to break you. He's going to do everything he can to keep you and me from going forward. But always know this, whatever God starts, God protects. So if God is calling you to do something, he's got things around you and I to keep us protected, to keep us on the straight and narrow. And so this morning, as I close, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're up against, what opposition seems oh so great. But know that you serve a God that is greater. And you know what? These men and women, they finished the wall. And we'll talk about it next week, but they had a big celebration. And so when you do get the breakthrough, don't just break through and sit there and talk about, oh, you know, just I want to stay in my house and thank God. No, let's have a celebration. Let's give God the glory that is due his name. Let's tell a friend, let's tell a coworker, let's tell a neighbor about what God did. Because when you and I give God praise in the midst of opposition and God comes through on your behalf, people say, you know what, if he did it for you, he can do it for me. And it's so important to always remember that whatever God starts, he started this work here in New Jersey. He gave us this building. He's doing a work here. He's going to protect it. But you and I have to keep moving forward. We can't turn to the left or to the right. We got to know that God is for us and not against us, regardless of what's been thrown at us. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to close in prayer. Know this 4th of July weekend, be safe, have fun. But know that there's an enemy out there that doesn't want you and I to succeed. He doesn't want us to make it. There's opposition all over the place. You know, as I was preaching this word, I feel that there's some people in here that are growing weary. Growing weary. Like there's a weariness. Pastor, I've been doing all I can do to stand, but I'm just a little tired. Tired. I don't want to quit. I don't want to get up, but I'm just tired. It's summer, and I just want to kind of kick back and relax a little bit. I'm tired. There's nothing wrong with rest. But it's important what you rest in. You got to rest in the promises of God. Rest in his promises. Let him carry you to where he wants to carry you. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, God, I thank you. I thank you that when we're weak, you're strong. And Lord, this morning we confess our weakness. We realize we can't do things that you're calling us to do without you. We're asking this morning that you would come by your Holy Spirit and refresh us. If you need a refreshing this morning, and I mean you're tired, you're weary, you're feeling weak, I just want you to raise your hands right where you are. You're financially weary. You're emotionally weary. You're drained. You feel like you can't move forward. You just want to be where you are. Father, you see every hand that is raised this morning. I thank you, God, that when we humble ourselves, you said you give us more grace. And I'm asking you this morning, God, to give us the grace that we need to continue to build and move forward as individuals and as a church. I pray, God, this morning that people that are weary, that they would wait upon you and that you'd give them the strength that they need. Lift off the oppression, lift off the depression this morning in the name of Jesus. Lift off the doubt and the unbelief this morning, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, lift off the hurt and the pain, God, that people have caused, Lord, even in this time of weakness and weariness. Set them free, Lord. And let a wind of encouragement come this morning. Let a wind of encouragement come this morning that would carry them through the rest of this summer. God, I pray that right now, Lord, that you would help every man and every woman that needs that fresh touch from you today. God, we thank you. We praise you. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.